AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
At least up.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, welcome back to another episode of Banter with the Boys. Fast laps coming at you with another F1 race come and gone. We had Monza this week, fellas, and obviously we will be previewing Azerbaijan as well. Mm. Did I say that right?
You did. Azerbaijan.
Yep. Azerbaijan.
You can also say Baku. That's just easier.
Rosetta Stone by Joe. anyway, like always, our co-host Joe here with us. Joe, how's your week been so far?
Week's been good so far. Ask the wrong person, but I guess on behalf of Cole.
Yeah, right.
Week's good. Weather's good, nice. Good. It's cool.
No, the weather's raining again.
Oh, yeah.
It just started.
It did just start. Yeah, but yeah, pretty good. Coming from the Temple of Speed of Monza, going into Baku. It's kind of weird having it this late in the year because it's usually like the third or fourth race.
True, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. I love that track. It's very technical, very, very close corner. So it should be fun.
For sure, for sure. And of course, across the table, we're blessed with the presence of Cole like we have been all season. I still got to ask you how your week's been because I got nothing else for you. But yeah, how's your week been?
Good. I mean,
stay with the status quo.
Yeah, we touched on it, but it's raining again today. So it's on par. Right.
It's on par for
these episodes.
Yeah, for sure. It's always raining for F1. And of course, last but not least, I always forget to mention him, Kev, who's off camera, who makes this whole thing happen. Thanks for doing everything you do, Kev. Anyway, look, clap. Boop. All right. There it is. We love him more than that, trust me. Anyway, let's dive right into the Monza recap. It was hot. It was hot. A little hotter than kind of the past few races. Obviously, the races in the desert, those get a little warm too, but I just felt like it was worth mentioning. It was a little hotter. Tire degradation was a big deal this race. Whether it was the heat, I doubt it. Probably a mix of everything. Some teams fared better than others. One driver fared better than others, and Charles gets the dub there, as well as driver of the day. Ferrari as a whole, not so bad. A bit of a surprise, actually, in their home race. Charles winning, I guess you could say, quote unquote, I think the Sky Sports announcers even said it, quote unquote, his second home race of the year. Did we really expect Ferrari to come out there and let alone be on the podium, but get the win?
No, but thinking about that too, I mean, I was thinking about this actually during the race when you just brought up that you said Sainz in the top three.
Mm-hmm. Charles, by the way.
Charles is second overall for a Ferrari racer to have multiple wins at Monza.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to play that back for me.
Okay, so Charles has two wins at Monza.
Right.
In a Ferrari car.
Sure.
The highest is seven, Schumacher.
Okay, yeah.
But he's the second highest as far as wins.
I mean, Ferrari has seven wins at Monza.
No. But a driver in a Ferrari car. Driver winning at Monza. Okay. Sorry, we're both,
It's Ferrari's track.
I don't know what's happening.
Here for like a week.
It's Ferrari's track, but he's been very good there, is what I'm saying.
For sure, for
he's continuously performed there, and he did it again. So it was pretty cool. It was awesome to see. I think that Piastri kind of messed up a bit. McLaren messed up a bit in their strategy.
There you go. Yes.
But it's tough. I was very surprised with the way it ended up.
No, I think you mentioned this, Joe. He was a one stopper.
Charles?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the only one. Everyone pitted because everyone was having the exact same tire issue. Even Charles was having that tire issue, but he decided to stay on
it.
And he was able to outlast. Piastri wasn't able to catch him, so that rare Ferrari strategy dub just coming in clutch for Charles.
Could you imagine if you're just off that racing line just a little bit, especially towards the end of the race, you're driving on marbles at that point. Did you guys see that as I zoomed in? There's just the marbles. I mean, we see it every race, right? But like this race, you could really see it on TV, you know what I mean?
Not to jump off of Charles so fast, but thinking about like the race and kind of how it all panned out, If we could jump into McLaren,
go for it. I think
Piastri and Norris on turn three.
Yep,
crazy.
Yeah,
at the beginning of the race.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
When he cut him off like that, it wasn't even a cut. I mean, he took. I don't know. What do you guys think? I don't know how to process that one because I love Norris so much more than Piastri. So
sure.
You know?
Yeah. It was like kind of a cutoff, but it was also just racing. I do think he squeezed for them being teammates. Probably a little too risky for that to happen, but he made it stick. It's unfortunate that Lando got so caught out by it. Like he lost two places.
Yeah.
But I guess all is fair in racing. It's so early in the race. Team orders really shouldn't be put into play that early, I don't think. But I think I definitely want to talk about that a little more eventually.
For sure.
But it was interesting to watch. Definitely a moment where I was just like head in hands, like Lando just cannot catch a break on these first laps.
Dude, for real. For real. It was a better start for him at least.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Off the line, he was good.
Yeah, it was decent. And then, man, Piastri just got that run and just, he didn't back out. That's the thing. Yeah. Piastri was aggressive through that whole turn, everything. He was aggressive. He was like, no. I don't really care. And like you said, I don't think you should ever have team orders that early. Like, let them race it out. But that's probably the line. If there's a fine line, that was it right there.
Yeah, and you probably cost McLaren a 1-2. Because if they get out in front after that, if they're not bottlenecking, pushing each other back, and they get out in front there, they're just going to go.
It's tough. Right? It's tough.
They just go, though.
They probably do.
Possibly.
Do. Right, instead of the Ferrari splitting them.
Yeah.
It's very possible, especially if Norris gets ahead again, because we've already seen his pace. It's definitely better than Piastri's, and that car is so good in clean air.
Yeah.
It is possible that Charles doing a one-stop may not have mattered, because Lando is so fast in clean air.
Like, that wasn't plan A for Charles.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You know? So, like, they resorted to that because of the gap, because of all the mess-ups, all the pits.
He wouldn't have had to do that. Yeah.
And he had a bigger gap. I mean, I think he cost him a 1-2 there, and I think that hurts McLaren more overall.
I think all in all, we saw strategies changing across all teams much this race. Yeah. I mean, it almost reminded me of a wet race, you know, where strategies just, A, B, C, you know, you just check them off.
Yeah.
No, that's not going to work. But, Joe, what were you going to say about McLaren's strategy? You
want to go into that? Yeah, we can kind of skip to McLaren just really quick.
We're in McLaren, but
yeah, we're in McLaren now.
It's no offense to Ferrari. There's not a ton to say.
Yeah, I mean,
we're
impressed.
They raced, for once, Ferrari raced a good strategic race. That's all
I
was really saying about them.
They were, I don't think they were even with McLaren, but that strategy, like Charles, he showed why he's a really good driver and why he's sticking around next year.
And there's still something to be said about, I almost call him Checo, about Carlos finishing four.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's something
definitely
to be said about that as well. Mm-hmm. So, all in all, a great strategy for Ferrari, but sorry, Ferrari
and
fans.
And he two-stopped, correct?
He did, yeah.
He had two stops.
But back to McLaren's strategy.
Yeah, going on to McLaren, kind of talking about that those team, any team orders, and they had mentioned something called papaya rules before the race, and that was mentioned pretty much throughout the entire race. We don't know exactly what it means, but everyone believes, and I think it was maybe mentioned a little bit, whoever is ahead at a certain point stays ahead for the rest of the race no matter what. So is this something that McLaren can afford to keep doing? Obviously, Oscar, he deserves a chance to show he's a good driver.
Next year.
Okay, so that's kind of the conversation I want to get into. What are your guys' opinions on having these papaya rules, these team orders, when it's very possible Lando could be fighting for WDC at the end of the year, right?
You go first.
Yeah, this is a bad move, I think.
Okay.
I think you got Lando, he's your guy. I mean, right now, if you're McLaren, if you're Brown, right? Zach Brown.
Like right now this season.
Yeah. If you're him, you are picking Lando, right? If you have two drivers, you're like, okay, who are you picking for your future? It's Lando. Get him the championship. We talked about it last week on the last time we talked on the show, that if Lando wins out every race, no matter where Max finishes, he wins.
Right.
Max took six?
Yeah. This was a great opportunity.
Great opportunity
that was
for
missed.
Big points.
Yeah.
To where that he's not stuck taking first every race, but because he took third, the gap is so much smaller. You know, it's not that big of a jump on him that, like, I think it's just a bad move. It's just a bad play.
He only gained, what, 5 points, I think, on Max, technically?
Yeah.
15, between 15 and 9, I think, is what I saw. Maybe I'm wrong, but it wasn't enough compared to, like, if he would have won the race.
It was either 16 or 15, I can't remember. Well, no. He also got fastest lap, so I think it was 16.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you're right. I was talking about this with a couple people right after the race as well, and I was thinking, you know, I think it's unfair because it's still pretty far away. They still have a while to catch Max. You have to think though, right? If all those points matter, but later in the year, I think it's definitely crucial that they need to be making these hard decisions and swapping them. It being still probably almost three quarters through the year, maybe they can let them race a little more. I don't know.
You're talking about next season?
No, this season.
No, for McLaren, versus Red Bull, yes, I agree. For McLaren versus Red Bull, the overall points, they can let the drivers race.
No, I'm talking about WDC.
For the WDC, no. I don't think you could do that. Because Max will get more race wins.
Mm-hmm.
Big gaps like this most recent race, is what elevates Lando in the long term. I think this is a big loss. I think this might even lose him the WDC.
Sure.
I think McLaren walks away with the constructors, but...
I think McLaren will walk away with it, but in terms of WDC and them swapping and Team Order saying, we need you to give it to Lando because he gets more points, I think it's just... I don't think Lando wants that to be the case. If Oscar is outracing him, I don't think... At the end of the day, obviously we all want to be WDC, but do you want to be WDC because you had to get a place from your teammate every single race?
But there's been multiple races this year where Lando... Majority of the races this year, Lando's a better driver. Except for two, arguably, and one of them, they should have gave to Lando.
So,
the one, two. They should have gave to Lando that one.
Yes.
Arguably.
Because he was faster.
Three races ago or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
When he got a 6-7.
Where he literally had to slow down.
Yeah. There was that race and this race were the only two, arguably, where Oscar was really better when they were both at the top.
Yeah. That is a scenario where I do think Lando probably should have just kept that. Especially because he had to give up so much time.
But it was team orders.
Knowing what we know now about the team orders and about how he can actually fight for WDC, he definitely should have kept it. He was so far ahead. He had to slow down so much for Piastri. Just, you know, it was Piastri's. It was a really hard situation because it was Piastri's first win as well. So it was, you know.
And I don't want to talk about that race because we definitely talked about it. But, I agree, for Oscar, I would have felt some type of way winning in that sense. It's not going to feel the same. You're still going to, you know, I got my first F1 win, I'm sure. But, it probably still didn't feel as good. I don't know. But anyway, I think they should absolutely let Lando, the number one driver, no matter what, the rest of this season. We're trying to get Lando in contention for WDC. I agree that this race probably may take him out of that contention at this point. Mm. With such a great opportunity to jump on Max with him finishing P6. But next year... I think you let them race a little bit to start the season. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's what they did at the start of this year,
I think
too.
No matter what, I agree with you guys. I think no matter what, they probably are going to catch constructors, and we'll touch on that.
But you have to look at it like this. If this was Max and Checo, or if this was 4 years ago, Lewis and Bottas, how do those team orders look?
Lewis, sure. Lewis, Max, Max, Max.
Yes, because they know who their main driver is. They know who they want to win the WDC. They already have that designed.
Are you saying that McLaren is questioning who their number one driver is, or are we're questioning who McLaren's number one driver is?
I'm saying that I think McLaren is messing up in that aspect. They need to pick their number one driver, and they need to do something about it.
And make that known that this is our number one driver?
Because if you want to be a top team, if you want to be a Red Bull, if you want to be a Mercedes, you have to make those tough decisions. Make them. Get him the WDC.
Sure.
The same thing. If it's Bottas and Lewis... We're not having this conversation because Lewis is winning most of those races, right? They're not giving Bottas back that spot for first, probably.
And Lando's winning most of the races over Oscar.
We know Max isn't giving that spot up. He's multiple times said, stop asking me that. I'm just going to take the win, you know?
So you think Lando should get to that point if they're asking him to give it to Oscar?
He kind of already
turn
was.
Turn the radio off?
Yeah. I mean, what was it? Hungara Ring? Hungary?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's basically where he was, yeah.
Dude, I was getting frustrated.
McLaren's got to make the decision.
It is
not
100%
a McLaren issue that
they need to sort. I 100% agree with that. I'm going to get even more specific. I would say if you're at a certain distance between the two, even if Lando is leading most of the race and Oscar somehow gets ahead of him and maybe there's a bad strategy call or maybe Lando messes up somehow and Oscar's now 10 seconds ahead, Oscar should not have to slow down 10 seconds to let Lando pass him.
Yeah.
It's just
no, I think
just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But papaya rules as of right now say that he should.
So, right.
I'd love to hear if you have more insight into that.
On the papaya rules?
Yeah.
No, like you're saying, it just kind of lets them race, but what those exact details are, obviously nobody's going to know.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know why they call it papaya?
After the fruit.
Well, because right. the team is orange, right?
It's right. their color. It's the same color. Really. It's yeah. the same color. As, yeah, yes, yes. That's why. That's it. I was like, I wow.
That's the only thing I know that's papaya.
We're going to call it a PR move. All right, moving on. Merc. Wow, because I have him in Merc. I was going to call him Mercury. Unbelievable.
I put them as Merc, so
unbelievable.
That's my bad. Sorry.
Mercedes coming out, finishing P5 and P7. Lewis, P5. Russell, P7. I felt bad for George a little bit. He did get the short end of the stick early on in the race with that little bit of wing damage. Definitely affected him big time. But he was able to get seventh at least. I don't know. I didn't see a whole lot from Mercedes here. I think I would have liked to see George beat Max, but
wasn't it Hamilton on the first turn that was bumped out by Piastri?
No, it was George.
George. Okay, that's where it happened. Oh yeah, yeah. Because he had to go through the okay,
and he lost places. He lost like tough. Five places immediately right off the bat.
That's tough. Mm. Yeah.
And it was just congested there. It is what it is. Racing deal.
It wasn't a good. I mean, they talk about it in the race, obviously. It's not a good passing track.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everything changes. I mean, if you take away the first lap of that, everything's different, you know?
For a lot of people.
Yeah, it was just one of
those. That's every F1 race almost.
Yeah, but it's one of those races where there's like a lot of carnage, if you will.
Carnage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that first five turns.
Oh, we're
going to
talk about carnage, buddy.
In that first five turns. So it's tough. It sucks. I think, we could have seen Russell or Mercedes up 3-4.
Yeah, do we see them bounce back a little bit next week, Azerbaijan?
I don't think this track.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think I have them. I could even have Alonso battling with them next track. You don't think so?
No, I think so. We still see them around like the 5-7. I think
five as high as five though.
Yeah, I think we still see them there.
Still beating
Checo. Yeah, they're not competing for the top three this week though. They're not going to be. Neither of them are going to be in my podium.
Can they beat Carlos and probably Max? You know, but can they beat Carlos and Max this week? I'm sorry, I meant probably Carlos, but I think Max will bounce back a bit. But
yeah, we'll see.
I don't know. I think Mercedes is. I think they were like this. Then they all of a sudden had that sweet couple weeks, and now I think they're kind of dropping back down performance wise.
Yeah, they kind of stalemated. I think they're kind of. It almost feels like they're just giving up on this year.
Just looking forward into the new regime.
They're kind of stuck in four. They're not in any danger of getting fifth.
No, they got four locked up.
Yeah, they got four locked up. They need a crazy end of the season to take three. So I think they're kind of stuck there. I think they're looking towards next year.
Lewis could reach fifth in the WDC, but does that do anything for a guy?
That's not,
for a guy that's a multi-time champion?
Probably not.
But we'll talk a little bit more about Mercedes. We'll save some Mercedes talk for a little bit later because we got some news there. Moving along to Red Bull. So I have here, like, I wanted to be upset with Checo finishing P8, but can I really be that upset when your number one driver's finishing P6? You know what I mean? Like, we talked about that before, right? It's not the fact that Checo's getting in points. It's the fact that, and Joe's touched on this a lot, it's the fact that gap between Verstappen and Checo is just it's just too wide. You know what I mean? So if we get a bad finish from Max, can we be that upset that Checo is finishing eighth still, though?
Yeah, because Max raced horribly. Max had a bad race. So
that's where Checo needs to step it up.
So what you're doing right now is comparing him, Max doing a horrible race, everything being horrible for Max, right?
Sure.
Everything going bad for Max, to Checo still only being two behind him, and saying, okay, is it a bad race for Checo? Yeah, it's still a bad race for Checo.
What? Yeah, it feels like every race.
Can the guy get above fifth?
But
you know, can the guy get above P5?
Was it the car this week?
Get him out of this.
You know what I mean?
We're done with him.
We're done with Checo. We're done with Checo.
If Checo's in that seat next year,
with Red Bull as a fan.
I'm done bandwagoning Red Bull.
Yeah. Oh, okay, finally, gosh, you come here and talk about Red Bull every week.
I'm glad we've established that.
I was very happy to see both of them so low.
Yeah,
I will say that, but I don't think this is any credit to Checo this last week.
No, I don't either. I'm just saying, like, can we be that upset about it? I don't know. I gave him three races, right? This coming week, that's race three.
This is kind of open for debate a little bit. I would say his races are typically pretty, like if he starts in a position, he's usually finishing in that position, give or take. I think his qualifying is typically what, you know, messes us up pretty bad. So he started in eighth and he finished in eighth.
The skill of a driver.
Yeah, exactly.
Car, yes, but mostly the skill of a driver.
So so he's good enough to compete with racing
K-Meg.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But no, he's not doing what he needs to be doing because he's still in a really good car. It's obviously not as good as other cars right now, and that's clear as day. Max got sixth. He was only able to make two places.
Is that should the expectation be for Checo? What?
What should it be?
I'm saying should the expectation be, should he be beating both Mercedes? Like, should that be his expectation and his goal every race? Should he be, considering the Mercedes are kind of...
He should be qualifying top... I think I've said this. He should be qualifying top six or seven. Yeah.
He should be doing something.
Yeah.
Because
if he can qualify there
at this rate right now, if he makes if he gets P5 or higher, he shocks the world. That's not a good thing in a Red Bull car.
He's gonna come out and start P3 next week.
It's a street track. He's gonna be tracks.
You didn't have confidence behind saying that.
We heard the laughing.
Moving on. Williams, Albon getting into points, and does anybody know how to say
yes?
Thank you.
Colapinto.
Colapinto. Franco, I haven't heard Colapinto. It yet, so I didn't want to mess it up. Colapinto. I'm going to take your word that you're
immediately
right.
Immediately, much better than Sargent.
Didn't
crash. Made a ton of position. Made a couple positions.
I mean, he finished 12.
First ever F1 weekend. Like, crazy good.
I thought he raced great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he raced great.
I would not have expected anything more from him on his first
Considering
race.
Considering we were dogging the Williams car all year, too, Albon's shown us that it has flashes.
It should be like
the fact
that
midfield, he can just hop in it and get P12 right out the gate.
Good.
That's promising.
Yeah, very, very promising.
You know. Was he the reserve driver? Where did he come from?
No, he was
F2.
F2, I believe.
F2?
Yeah, so he's just like, right? F2? I think he's just pulled from F2 for the rest of the year.
Yeah, he wasn't F3.
He's a Williams Academy driver.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now he has a seat for the rest of the year, though, right?
Yes, yeah. He does.
Because he can't go back to F2 now.
Not for the rest of the year. Yeah. No. Yeah, definitely not for
but
the rest of the year.
But he can next season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He can. I don't think he will. I'm sure he'll probably get the Williams reserve spot next season.
I suppose. I mean, that makes sense.
I think that's typically what happens, which is unfortunate because he's going to be the new Liam Lawson, but now for Williams.
Just get kind of stuck
in
that.
He's going to be able to race for like a couple races, half a year, and then he's going to be stuck in that reserve spot for
a
while.
So really quick, I don't want to go super deep on this.
No, let's do it.
Do you think it's better? Do you think it's better to be in a full-time F2 seat then rather than a F1 reserve driver just for experience?
What's an F1? I think you want to be an F1 reserve because you get to do their training, right? It's like being in AAA versus MLB, right? Sitting on the bench
for sure.
I think it's the same thing. What does a reserve driver make? Hey, if I'm the backup quarterback and I'm still doing all right on the bench, put me in.
I suppose. And I think... multiple teams can have the same reserve driver, so that might also mean more. I don't know if that's going to be the case for him. And I'm also just speculating he's going to be reserve driver.
Like, he could go reserve for Mercedes,
Yeah, I think
too,
Jack Doohan was, like, a reserve driver for multiple people. And I think Oscar was, too, at one point.
Okay. I mean, that makes it a little better,
I think.
You can fact-check me.
More
opportunities, potentially.
Yeah.
When the sergeants of the world are hitting walls.
Yeah, exactly. I say that because I usually see when people get to F1, they race F1 for a little bit, they stay in it. I think it's in some capacity.
Sure.
I don't see people getting up to the big game and then moving back down. At least I haven't seen it.
The big game.
Yeah, they're just waiting for their spot.
Yeah.
Right? I think they have a better chance to get that spot from there.
But whose question was it, whether it be F2 or...
mine.
Okay. It's a great question. I think... F2 reserved, F1
great
reserve.
Question. Great question, count, Kevin.
It is a great question.
Great question. One. Tally.
One. I think F1 reserve. F1 reserve is probably priority, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
That's what you guys would do in your F1 career.
Oh, man, but like, you can't race. You just don't get to race ever. You're just in simulators
so
and you're watching.
About it.
I'm thinking about it, but I think.
This guy.
F1 reserve is going to be the closest you can get to being an F1, and that's what you had to do.
And like you said, or one of you said, you probably do make more money as an F1 reserve than you would as a full-time F1.
Yeah,
you would think.
Probably.
Yeah, 100%.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, you're getting 100%. Paid by a bigger team.
And you're probably going to get better sponsorship deals, everything, because you're going to be more of the face, you're going to be out there with the car reveals, everything like that. You're just going to get more sponsorships.
And I like your deal, too, you know what I mean? Like, you're... thanks, buddy. but I like your point, too, how it's... You're with the big squad, right? You're with all their development team. You're with, You're doing the same workouts as the main drivers, I'd imagine, with the same trainer, you know, all that crap. So I agree. I think F1 reserve driver is the way to go. So sign
if there's a space, I don't know.
Sign me up. Well, K-Meg's got to have a spot next year. Let's talk about K-Meg real quick. No, I'm not serious. But K-Meg, as Joe so lovingly puts it, bless his heart, K-Meg crashes his way into points.
Let's go.
That was ridiculous. The thing on...
classic
was
K-Mag.
Was it on Gasly? Where he was came shooting in? Just way too much speed.
I think it was. Right, yeah, he just straight up hit the side of him.
Come on, man. Like, and that's why you're not racing next week. Or next year. Next year. Let's touch on that really quick, why he's not racing this week. He hit the points threshold for penalties this season, so he's... They actually used the word banned. He is banned from Azerbaijan this week, so that's wild. But this is the carnage point I wanted to bring up. Now that he's banned, so what's after Azerbaijan? Singapore? Right?
No.
Yes.
I believe.
Yes.
I think we determined that. We talked about it. So he'll be back for Singapore with zero penalty points, baby. Zero. You know how much carnage we're going to see the rest of the season?
He's like, I have like six races left.
His eyes are wide open
right
now. I'm
going to cost this team so much money.
For Gunther.
It was Gasly, right?
I'm pretty sure it was Gasly that he smacked.
Yeah.
You know what? Not too big in the K-Mag the rest of the season. He looked like a sponsored athlete for the Russians that are coming after Haas.
Yeah, right? You do have the honorary mention here.
Really quick, just before I just really quick looked at how many races I've gotten a penalty race ban in F1. It's only been 2, 3, 6 others, right?
In history?
I was going to look that up because it can't be that many.
This is going to be great. The last person before him was in 2012 was Roman Grosjean.
Of course it was.
The fireball himself in a Haas.
Dang.
Of course. Or what?
Dude,
he probably wasn't
dies,
a Haas.
We're
going
to call him Fireball.
Sorry. Too soon?
Sergeant's saying, put me back in that seat. I want a stat for the history books.
That's so funny. Among them, Michael Schumacher actually also got a penalty race ban.
Okay, when was that?
1994.
I wasn't even around yet.
They still win that year? WDC?
That's a good question.
That'd be crazy. That's got to be a stat. We're going to make it. We'll let them know.
WDC.
Hey, FIA, like, hey, if anybody ever...
Don't hold out on K-Meg. He's still got a chance.
He's got a chance.
Michael Schumacher won his first of 7 in 1994. So the year he gets a race ban.
Whoa.
Dude is racing so hard.
Gets a ban.
That's it. K-Mag is just trying to be Schumacher, you know? He's just like, if I can get a race ban, I can win this thing.
He's got like 300 points to go,
yeah.
So he might just do it.
A lot of race left,
might,
you know? A lot of
he
year
might
left.
Just do
You're
it.
One of the top three dogs. Watch out.
He's
got six races to come at you.
He's not going to reach you in points, but he is going to reach you in the car, and you do not want to be alongside him.
Oh, my God. Speaking of another crash out. Yuki, poor fellow.
Oh,
also
my gosh.
Not his fault. Mm. Who hit him? Was it darn it.
Let me check.
I just had it. I can't remember who hit him, but he was hit right in the side of the car, too.
I had notes.
It was like lap three or something.
It was Hulkenberg. So both Haas drivers doing damage.
Darn it.
Yeah. I have all my notes right here.
He's got a ride next year. That's not a Haas.
Good ride, yeah.
Yeah.
Sonoda just cannot catch a break.
Better. Maybe.
Give him another year.
Yeah, 2026. But yeah, Yuki can't catch a break.
Can I catch a break?
At least this one wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't his fault. I haven't checked the last two, but last year wasn't his fault either. He got on track and his car just broke, like, before getting the starting grid.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
He just had to pull over.
Nope.
Did he even start?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. He's had 2 do not starts and 2 do not finishes. Or did not finish, rather.
Awesome. Yep. That looks like my record.
Not bad for that car.
That looks like my F1 record. My career guy on the game.
After 4 races.
Yeah, DNF, DNF, DNF. Dang it. Finish P18. Darn it. Anyway, we'll go ahead and do like a quick, brief standings update. If you guys take a look at the screen here in a second, there's going to be a little ticker down there that's going to go ahead and show you the driver standings, the constructor standings. Can't talk today. My apologies. We only really need to talk about truly the first three drivers, but we can talk about the first five if you want. In the driver standings update, Max sitting at 303, Lando sitting at 241. Again, a missed opportunity there. Charles sitting at 217, Oscar 197, Carlos 184, Lewis another 20 behind Carlos. I think that missed opportunity it's going to weigh too heavy. By the end of the season, he might close that gap, but by the end of the season, if we look back at Italy, I think it's going to end up being, it could make or break his opportunity to be fighting for the championship in the final race.
I mean, if you have another Hamilton Max scenario and Max's car gets figured out a little bit, it's tough for Lando.
It's going to be tough either way, right?
Yeah, I hate to bring up past topics we've covered, but Lando just needs to start, like, truly, he just needs to start driving better.
Yeah.
He needs to drive like a WDC if he wants to win, and that's kind of the last point I'll say.
Does he need to be a little bit, papaya rules or not, does he need to be a little bit more aggressive with Oscar?
Honestly, like...
He seems to be, not to use, go this way, but he seems to be a little submissive to Oscar a little bit. Oscar just...
If he sent it in that corner with Oscar, they're both crashing, I think, unfortunately.
Probably.
So he did the right thing, I'm sure.
The team move.
Oscar could have given him more room, but...
I mean...
How long do you think...
I don't know. I think that was such a good overtake by him, though.
How long do you think these two can be teammates?
Not very long, truly.
Really?
I think
they could be teammates for a while. I think they like each other off track, and they both know on track, no one's friends.
But it's just like every major sport, though. Everybody likes each other off track, off field, off court. Yeah. Oh, we're all buddy, boo, but on the court, you know what I mean?
They're just going to be in the same situation. I don't think McLaren should not want to get rid of for either of them. And as long as they're giving contracts to them, they're not going to leave McLaren because McLaren's doing well. So they're going to be teammates.
They are the car on
the rise.
They're
going to be teammates past 2026, unless 2025 they just do so bad.
What if there's a seat open? What if Red Bull comes swooping its big old red wings in there?
I mean, what's Lewis doing? He's going to a Ferrari that is good and bad.
How many more years do we have Lewis left anyway? That's going to open up a seat automatically at some point.
I think 2027 they're in different teams.
Interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
We should mark that down.
We'll be back in 3 years.
Yeah.
I'll check the dark web.
Which was right again, by the way, which we'll get to really soon. But real quick, let's go into constructors. The ticker's still going. You'll see the constructors pop up as well, I believe. Are the constructors championship in there too? Nice. Kev over here doing the Lord's work. And co-producer Rob, you'll see him on our NFL episodes. Constructors, we got Red Bull sitting at 446, McLaren 438, Ferrari 407, Mercedes. I'm going to start typing on Mercedes. It's going to be bad. 292 and Aston's at 74.
Does Red Bull take third?
No.
That's such a good question. Hey, 1-1. You guys are doing good.
No. I don't. Oh, yeah. We got it. Great question. Ayo.
It's two of them.
It's two now.
That's such a good question because Ferrari. Yeah, we're getting it. There it is.
Question two.
That's such a good question because you're right. Ferrari is so close to them. They're so close.
They all are. I think McLaren takes first after this weekend.
After, can they? Well, they could.
They're only 12 points off.
McLaren takes lead after Singapore because Singapore is notoriously bad for Max and. Checo usually picks up the pieces, and he hasn't been doing that this year.
He's not going to pick up the pieces this year, buddy.
So I think after Singapore, that's probably true.
Unless it's his own car.
I just don't, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Singapore is a great opportunity for Ferrari, too.
Yeah, it is. And Lando crashed last year. I don't know.
I don't know. Can we trust Ferrari even, though, to be that consistent the rest of the season? They haven't been this. What have they shown us?
I just don't know Ferrari.
Other than just winning last week, so I sound like a big D-bag. But I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, they have...
There's no consistency with it.
They're tied third most race wins, right, with three?
They are.
Technically.
We got two for Charles, two for one them. For Sainz, and then you have Mercedes with three.
Yeah.
Yep. I just don't know if Ferrari is overall going to be faster than the Red Bull this year, unless the Red Bull just keeps on tanking.
Dang,
that's
going
to be something to look forward to the last races of the year.
Yeah.
I think they're going to keep chipping away a little bit.
The more I think about it, if Checo doesn't improve and if Max... gets like even a P3, 4, 5 or something a couple more times. I mean,
I'll be so happy if
Ferrari could. We know, buddy. We should make a highlight video of just Cole and like, I hate Red Bull. Or Max is just so bad or whatever. But, oh, man, that's
It'll be just as long as his sergeant, you know.
No, we don't talk about sergeant enough.
No
we
more?
Need to talk about him more. No, we need to talk
now
about
that he's
him
gone.
More. Now that he's gone. Yeah. But anyway, that was just a quick. Oh, my God. A quick update of the driver standings and the constructor standings. With that, let's head right into our news. And to start right off with the news, Aston Martin's got to be tickled pink right now. They got their guy. They got their guy.
Yo, what an intro. Today, dude?
What do you mean?
It's a shirt.
Tickled pink right now. But newy to Aston, Dark Web called it. You called that weeks ago.
I called that when he first left.
You did.
I think.
You said Stroll's going to throw the bag at him.
Yeah.
And he did.
Must have. Did we...
Dark Web said it was between those two, but Aston Martin had the upper hand.
Did anybody catch his details for, like, how much they're paying this dude? I didn't see it, but does it really matter?
And he's starting now on this car. Nope. He's starting now on next year's car.
Okay, I was just about to ask you, do you think they're sicking him on next year's car, or do you think they're like, well, obviously...
So he came out and said he's for next year's car, starting now to help their car.
Oh, no. He's starting 2025. I looked this up as well.
He can't. He's contractually obligated with Red Bull for the rest of this season, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he can start.
He gets to start with Aston Martin in March of 2025.
That's when he starts?
Yeah.
I thought he could start developing their next year's car now.
Nope.
No?
I felt he's with Red Bull till the end of the year.
I feel like at least in December.
I'll double check really quick.
You want to hear a cool stat about him?
Yeah.
Lay it on
out
me.
Of all of the F1 races in history, he has been a part of a team with 20% of the wins. So 20% of the wins in the history of the F1.
He's been a part of.
He's been a part of that team.
Interesting.
With Red Bull?
Just in McLaren, Red Bull, everybody.
Okay. Does this make a difference automatically for them in 2025?
Yes.
Yeah, like night and day, are they battling Mercedes next year?
I think out the gate. They're a lot closer in points.
I don't think so. I think.
Do you think 2026 is a better look?
Oh, 100%. Okay, so I looked it up. This is from Formula1.com.
Wait, just let your source.
Thank you. He will officially begin on March 1st, 2025, which
that's
means
bogus,
that he is probably
kind of
only going to be focused on the 2026 car, in my opinion.
At that point, too late. We already got our plan for 2025. He can probably put his tidbits
Aston
in there.
Aston Martin's plan should just be survive, really. Like, they're going to have a good start of the season, and then they're going to fall off like they always do. And then 2026, they might be a red.
No faith.
You know? Why would I have faith in Aston Martin?
Do you know what year did
Sorry,
he join Red
that
Bull?
Was aggressive.
Hey, I'm not
it's a
fan,
bad
so
question.
It's okay.
When did he join Red Bull?
Newey?
Yeah.
I can
long time ago.
I can find that up.
I feel like he was there. Was he there for Vettel?
Yeah. I wonder how long after he joined them did they start winning?
I think it was first
2006.
Year. Never mind. It was not first year.
And
I don't think Red Bull won in 2006.
When did Red Bull win F1 championship?
Stand by. I think it was...
So their constructors were in... Sorry.
No, you're good.
Sorry.
I'd rather you go. You have it right in front of you.
2010 through 2013. So it took 4 years with the team for them to start winning championships.
Alrighty, I take back my prior statement.
I don't know if they were...
Tough year next year.
But 2026, though. But 2026 with the new regs, everybody... kind of is on a level playing field, right?
Right.
That was a bad. They're not really, but
no.
But you know what I mean. Same rules, same new rules that you have to comply by. I mean, I think 2026 at least is a better outlook for Aston. But yeah. There's no way he's not going to help with next year's car either. He's there in the building. Like, you're not going to not go ask the guy, hey, what should we do about this?
Yeah. I think he helps next year's car too. I think maybe his main focus is on 2026, but he's still helping next year.
Yeah, for sure. What else are you trying to...
I'm just looking at the article that Formula One posted about it. Just trying to figure out, like, the reasons for it, and obviously...
They didn't really put a lot in there.
They didn't. They basically just said, like, he joined the team because of Lawrence's commitment to getting a championship and to building a good car. I think what's good for him... I mean, he's getting the bag, obviously. I think what's good for him is that he's going into a team that has already a decent car that he can start off of, even though 2026 is going to be totally different. And he's got really good facilities to work in as well. So he's gonna be able to get out the ground running.
I feel like 2025 a decent car is a vague term.
2025 is not it, but
doesn't have decent drivers.
No, I mean Alonso is good.
Alonso's great.
Are you an Alonso hater now?
No, I love Alonso. Love Alonso.
Yeah, I knew that. Okay.
But with Stroll in that second seat,
we gotta mark that down though. He said they have two not good drivers. Yeah, mark it down.
But with Stroll in that second seat, they'll never win.
I agree with that 100%.
I mean, maybe if they're gunning for a WDC, maybe they can do it.
He have that conversation with Stroll? Does that even happen with Lance?
How can you?
I know. It'd be tough.
Who's going to have the conversation? You
know, like, not me.
Perfect scenario. They build a car that just drives itself for Stroll and then wins the championship.
They just cheat.
Yeah.
Put Stroll in the car.
Or rather, in more
time.
Lawrence in there.
Yeah. In more realistic terms, they just build a car that's so wildly better than the other cars that it doesn't matter who's driving it.
If you could, okay, this is just ridiculous and doesn't really matter because Stroll's signed through Win 2025. Or is he signed through new regs too?
I don't think
forever.
Inevitably.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Whenever his contract comes up, it's always like, yes.
You know what? I'm not even asking a question. It's stupid. I was if you could pick any driver, that's stupid though. Max, right? Lewis, or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Any younger driver to go into Stroll's seat to help build Aston, you know, from here on out.
Science.
Who would that be? Carlos?
Yeah.
Young?
That's interesting. He's younger. Yes, bro. We determined that.
He's 26.
Yeah. He's 26. He looks.
Science?
Yes.
Science is not 26.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Science is 28.
God, you might be right. Hold
on. He might be right on 28.
Stand by. But we looked this up before because he just looks so much older than he actually is.
Still, he's young. He's young enough. How old?
Apparently, I can't figure it out.
Fernando's like 35.
Right when I looked it up, I lost internet. So
I'm going to blame that on me, too. But I would. That's a good pick. I think Science is a good pick. You want to build a team around Science?
Around him?
And with Alonso?
We're all wrong. He's 30 years old.
Okay. But,
so then he's in his prime racing years then. You know what I mean? Technically, Max is 26, I think.
Honestly,
Max is still 26.
This isn't going to happen because McLaren's got him locked down for years, but Oscar Piastri would be a great driver to start building.
That's a good,
he's got
good
incredible
call.
That's
potential.
Who I'm expecting to go to Mercedes. I'm sorry. I'm expecting Red Bull to steal him. That's right. I already said that. Never mind.
It's a cool move. I heard us Newey come out though and say that he was looking for like a new challenge. Like he wanted a new challenge.
Here it is, buddy.
Yeah, you got it.
You got it. This will be a challenge.
This is it.
If he gets Aston to even top three in WDC within like 2-3 years,
that's
all
a win.
Him. That's all him.
Yeah,
it's all him. With the same drivers, that would be all him for sure.
Yeah. Oh, if he does that with Stroll,
with Lance in the seat, yeah.
Give that guy the WDC.
Stroll?
If he does that with Stroll,
WDC.
Give Newey the WDC.
Give Newey the title. Put Newey in the seat.
We just mentioned Mercedes, sticking with them for a quick sec. Antonelli to Mercedes is confirmed.
Yep.
Yeah, we all know it was coming, right?
You know, we did know it was coming. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about it for weeks, but now it is for sure confirmed. Total Wolf had some interesting comments about Antonelli. You know, first he spoke about Hamilton and said it was for the good, quote, for the good of Hamilton to leave Mercedes. Is that some foretelling that, hey, Mercedes is building now. They're not going to be that amazing next year. We're still building up. You know what I mean? The other thing that threw me off, though, Toto said was that Antonelli's mistakes will be more visible than Russell's were when Russell first came up.
That makes sense.
I agree. Especially when the kid wins a race this summer and then has the comments he did after the race. Like, I don't know if, I can't remember what it was. I don't know if I'm ready type of deal. Mm-hmm. First off, do you agree with Toto? Was it for the good of Hamilton that he leaves Mercedes in their
current
state?
For his career, yes.
For his career.
Yes.
Yeah.
Long-term career for his
Ferrari has
back.
A better shot at giving him what he wants than Mercedes does.
It's
let's
not
say
like,
in the next 2-3 years.
It's not like he was a Mercedes driver through and through, right?
He
won his first with McLaren.
Yep.
Like, I think this is a good move for him looking forward, yeah.
For sure.
But for Mercedes? No.
No, for Hamilton, though.
Yeah, for Hamilton, probably.
Great move.
He let him do what he wants.
Why not for Mercedes, though? Why would it not be a good idea
for
Mercedes?
You have a great driver. Why not
to move on from the older vet that's still performing at a high level?
Too soon.
To go into
too soon.
It's too soon
too
to
soon.
Be bringing in Antonelli?
Antonelli's not ready.
I mean, I agree with
really?
That.
Really?
No.
I would have put him in a Williams first.
I think he's going to be fast, and this was mentioned, I think, also by Toto in terms of just, like, Antonelli's mistakes and what he needs to work on. He said his pace is really good, but it's too good right now. He needs to, like, learn to technically drive. I mean, you saw him in Monza.
Is that
crashed.
Oscar's problem?
No, I don't think so. Oscar's like just, he just needs to, I think his pace is too slow at the moment.
Oscar?
Yeah. Antonelli, I think he just needs to drive a little more safe, I think is what
under
I got
control,
from that.
Maybe?
Yeah, because you look
standard
at that Monza, like,
decisions, right?
It was his second or third fast lap and he crashed. Like
it was on the wet though.
It
yeah?
was 53. No.
No?
Mm, no, I don't think so.
Maybe it was a video like Behrman I saw or something.
It was a green track, so it was like there's no rubber down at all. The parabolical where everyone was going off of, he went off as well and was unable to keep it out of the wall. Which is fine. No one blamed him for it. It was his first time driving that specific car, you know, in a weekend. But yeah, he's definitely, I don't think he's ready. I think he could have used another year or two. And I think Merck probably would have wanted to keep Hamilton for at least another year or two while they get Antonelli ready.
But with Lewis leaving, like we touched on earlier in the season, did they go Antonelli right away so they don't lose him? Like, we either get him now or somebody's going to come steal him?
Like the Oscar Piastri situation, maybe? The interesting thing, though, I think, with that dynamic, though, with Russell and Antonelli is, like, Lewis or Max even, like, a lot of these drivers are good drivers to have in that spot if you're going to bring in somebody like Antonelli. Like, having Lewis still there and then bringing in Antonelli
is a
good move.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I don't think Russell is, like, the leader.
That guy.
Like, the leader on the team, really. Like, I don't think he's the leader to really you want to put in. I think he's still in the phase right now.
He's got a lot of experience at this point, though.
Yes, but he's in the phase right now where all he cares about is winning. He wants to win a WDC, right? That's his main focus.
He does.
And I don't think he's going to be helping out a new guy a lot. I think that causes, if anything, more turmoil in the team, which I don't know if it's great. I don't think Russell's the guy you want to bring a new guy into.
So do you think that becomes, if Antonelli comes in and does great, like not amazing, but does decent enough right away at the beginning of next season, do we run into what we're starting to run into with Lando and Oscar right now?
Maybe. I think
but
this
like,
is like
that type of tension.
But I also think like both ways of this. Yes, I think there is more tension because the way the both drivers are going to view this, fighting for their spots almost. But also when you bring Russell in with Hamilton, I think Russell has a better shot of doing good his first couple years with Hamilton, and it's going to hurt Kimi Antonelli.
That his guy
even if
is
he's
Russell.
Not ready, if he's not ready, if sure. that's Hamilton in that seat, he's a hell of a lot more ready than he would have been.
Interesting.
I agree.
Interesting. Yeah. So
I think it's just Russell's not, he's not at that tutor or that, you know.
You got to win a WDC to have that on your chip, right? Like
probably.
I think Max would be a better situation for to bring, like Red Bull. They can use getting rid of Checo and putting in a young driver because you have Max.
Yeah.
Granted, he's not the best guy to race
that,
with.
Right?
He's not the best guy to race with, but at least then you have something like you're gunning for. Like a lot of the people that have raced with him, like Albon, speaks highly of Max.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So he does share his knowledge with his fellow driver.
Maybe, but also, like, just, like, the way, and, like, I think it's kind of...
I get
of,
what you're saying, though.
So the way I view it, it's like when somebody, this is a crazy example, like, when somebody goes and does a four-minute mile, all of a sudden, within the next couple of years, a ton of people do it. Why? Because they know it's possible, right? Not to get, like, stoic right now on you guys.
Go for it. Get on your bike.
But at that same time, like, when you have somebody like Max, and you go in, and you see him racing on 10 sensitivity... And you see him doing all these things. He's at the same level as you, but he's treating it at a different level. It changes your mindset and how you're going to approach it. It's just going to help you.
For sure. Right? And you're saying
Russell does not have
does
that.
Does not have that mindset.
He doesn't have that. He doesn't have that gear. He doesn't have that other level yet. He will one day. I think he's going to be great in the history of F1. I think he's going to be a great driver. He'll get a WDC, all that. But he doesn't have that to where it's going to stunt Antonelli.
Sure. Mm. Sure. Interesting. I got nothing to add to that. I'm good leaving it right there. That Russell is going to stunt Antonelli. Boom. Dark web.
Actually, Cole's web. I like the move. I like getting Antonelli in there.
You got to do it.
Yeah, I mean,
I like bringing
they
up
have, they had to do it.
I love
have
that.
No
I love
other
this
choice.
Year. This year and all the grid seats, I love this. All the new guys we're going to have.
We're going to get none of that next year, but we'll have plenty to talk about with all the new guys getting
there. Yeah, there's going
to
be like
experience.
No movement. Probably no movement next year.
Moving on, we talked about KMA already being banned from Azerbaijan. You know, and we've already talked about him coming back and that he's going to produce a lot more carnage for the rest of the season. But Behrman taking that seat, it'll be a good test. It'll be a good test to see him in a Haas again and just see if we can... Oh, no, I'm not again.
He was in a Ferrari before.
Yeah. I'm just curious if he can... I mean, yes, KMA got points. Yes, he crashed his way there this week. It'd be interesting to see if Bierman can sneak out a point or something.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Or at least qualify well, right? At least have a good quality in it.
Tough track for it, though.
Very tough track for it. I don't know if he's going to sneak out a point, unfortunately, but I am looking forward to seeing him get on track.
There's more experience for
him. And again, last time he raced F1, it was also a very narrow track with what was it? It was another tight track. Oh, I think
one I
Baku is a bit more technical, but still both street tracks. So he should hopefully fare okay, but it's going to be difficult. And he's in a Haas instead of a Ferrari. So
that's what you should look out for.
I'm saying he's probably 17th.
You know, it'd be 17th, really that low.
I think so.
I don't think he'll go that
low. I don't think it's his fault. I mean, he's a rookie. He's very new.
I think he's 13, 14. I'd love to see him sneak into a point for 10, but I think he's 13, 14. I definitely don't think he's going to be last.
He's
like down in like the bottom four.
He's somewhere around 12 to 14, I would agree.
Yeah, yeah. With that, that's all for news for the first time like ever this season. Usually we're talking about seats. There's no more seats really to talk about at this point.
There's only one left.
There's one. Which we are thinking is going to be one of the vets.
It's gotta be, right? I mean, it's gonna be somebody who's.
It's either gonna be. It should be either be. It Botas should be or Botas or it should be Joe. Probably. Yeah.
So
it'll probably be Joe.
Probably.
I'm thinking.
That'd be
as much as I'd love to see Botas weird, in there, but
it's like if they're looking for funding, it's gonna be Joe. But they should keep Botas. Yeah.
That's a tough call.
It is.
It's a tough call. But with that, let's head right into our Azerbaijan preview. And right back at it, we're just going to send it right over to Joe like we always do to start our Azerbaijan preview.
Yeah, let's get into it. Formula One Qatar Airways Azerbaijan Grand Prix 2024, another long one. Love the Baku track, incredibly technical. I'm always either crashing or like getting first at that track when I'm playing it online. Always.
Oh, you get first?
Sometimes. I have a couple assists. Okay. some fun facts. Most pole positions here is held by Charles Leclerc, but he's never won. In terms of winners, Sergio Perez is the only driver to have won here more than once, with the others being Rosberg, Danny Ric, Lewis, Bottas, and Max. Last year, our starting grid was Charles, Max, to Perez. We saw a very clean start to the race with the only contact being Albon getting his front wing a little too close to the back tire of Piastri, breaking off the sidewall of the front wing. There was no immediate boxing to fix the wing. Verstappen took the lead from Leclerc on the long straight, starting straight at the end of lap three from Leclerc, with Perez just below in second. A couple laps later, he makes the move for first place. Charles unable to fight the ultimate pace of the Red Bulls. Being earlier in the year, we saw Nyck de Vries clip the apex at wall of turn six, breaking his wheel and facing a wall that he could not spin around at. After a couple of really important pits, namely from Verstappen, the safety car came out, meaning anyone who has not pitted yet got the ultimate advantage from a cheap pit stop. This is where we see the swap of Verstappen and Perez take place. At the safety car restart, it's Perez, Leclerc, and then Verstappen. Both McLarens below scoring points at this time caught up by the safety car. And a gaggle of Mercedes, Alpines, Astons, and Haas ahead of them.
Gaggle.
A gaggle, yes. And that is the actually correct term for a lot of cars in front of you is a gaggle.
Uh-uh.
No.
I thought it was geese, man.
Immediately after the restart at the straight, turn three, Max overtakes Charles for second place right at the restart. He did that right away. Right behind, Alonso makes a huge lunge for fourth ahead of Sainz. Next few tight corners, he made the move stick. Meanwhile, the Aston of Stroll hits the exact same wall that De Vries hit earlier, but he's a lot luckier and comes out of it mostly unscathed. And then the latter half of the race is incredibly uneventful. A couple of close calls to the wall for both Red Bulls, who make it out alive. Norris, the only McLaren to make it back into points. Alonso keeps fourth. Tsunoda takes the final point position, and Joe, unfortunately, retires alongside De Vries later in the race. So our final was Perez, Verstappen, Leclerc. The gap to second was almost 19 seconds, and the gap to first between Perez and Verstappen was only 2 seconds. Perez becomes the first repeat winner at Baku, and he's named King of the Streets by his engineer. Is last year's reason.
Did you say Leclerc has the most poles?
He has the most pole. I think he has the most pole. Yeah, most pole positions here is held by Charles Leclerc. He had like two, and then he got another one last year, but he's never won.
Ooh. That throws a gaggle into my was it a gaggle?
Yeah, it was a gaggle. You got
yeah, but you can't use it in that way.
But there was a gaggle. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on in front of me right now. I'm trying to figure out now.
you gotta remember though. I think his last year's qualifying pace was a lot better than his race pace. I think overall for the year. This is also early Ferrari, so they were still decent.
Ooh, that's toughy. All right, how about let me update the points. Let me update the points.
Let's do it.
Tyler.
We can actually skip this. I don't need to hear it.
Oh, well, we're going to talk about it anyway.
Okay.
So, Tyler, who was with us earlier this season, he is sitting at 34 points right now, still giving us his picks. Cole in second place at the moment, one behind at 33, followed by me, two behind that at 31. And Joe is... Joe's having a tough season. Joe's sitting at 24 points right now.
No.
So Joe needs your support and love.
If he wins,
he will put his Venmo link in the description.
If I win every single weekend here going forward, I think I win the whole thing.
Okay,
so,
Lando.
Same position as Lando.
Saw how that worked last weekend.
You're better off rooting for Sargent.
Can't believe you just said that.
All right, well, I'll help you out here. We'll give you Tyler's picks first. He went in no particular order as we just picked the podium. Lando, Oscar, Charles. Oh, our bonus point. I didn't mention our bonus point. So how do I say his name again?
Colapinto.
Colapinto. Our bonus points are between Colapinto and Bierman. Who finishes better? You know what I mean? So Tyler's going Colapinto. Better car. Bierman not in a Ferrari this time, where his reasonings, all great reasonings, which makes me think a little bit. But you guys can go first. Joe, do you want to go first here? Joe does not want
to
go first.
I have to go first.
Actually, yeah.
By law, it's illegal if you don't go next.
By rule. Ruling on the field. On the track.
Hearing that makes me want to change everything up. So I'm going to change up my podium that I was originally thinking. It's going to be Lando.
Yeah.
Max.
Yep.
And Charles. And I'm also going Colapinto.
I almost went Charles as well, but I will not be going Charles. Colapinto, okay.
Just have a C.
Do you want me to go first before you, Joe?
Yes, please.
Okay. Actually, that's right. By law. By rule.
By law. It's illegal if you don't.
I'm going Max, Lando, Oscar. I think Oscar's too quick right now for the Ferraris. I think
it's too technical from this race.
It could be. This is going to be a great race to see what Oscar's actually made of and if he can keep that pace while being technical as well. I'm going to get crazy with it. I'm going to go Bierman. Just
crazy. You had one or two.
Hey, man. I got a 50% chance of being right, buddy. Joe, what's popping?
You gotta throw a wrench in there, man.
I don't know. I think honestly, I can't remember.
Checo, Alonso, Stroll.
What was...
you might as well throw Checo up there, honestly.
Honestly, what was Tyler's again?
Tyler went Lando, Oscar, Charles.
Unfortunately, I think it's going to be the exact same thing.
Lando, Oscar, Charles.
These next two races, Max is not going to be in my podium, especially not for Singapore. But for Baku, it's going to be Lando, Oscar,
Lewis.
Science. Oh, I could do. No, but the McLaren. The
don't
Mercedes
listen to us. Remember, you don't listen
good.
To us anymore.
I don't want to listen to you guys anymore.
You said Lando, Oscar?
Lando, Oscar. I just have a bad feeling about Oscar. Let's do Lando, Oscar, and yeah, I guess I'm gonna do the same thing as Tyler. Lando, Oscar, Charles.
Darn it.
Why no Max?
Crazy.
This track, Max could probably get up there. He just seeing his performance last weekend, and I haven't heard of any upgrades coming. I just don't know if it's gonna help. They did the weird like. Did you guys see the wing last weekend?
Red Bull's ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wing.
It was like.
Yeah. It was like kind of.
Yeah. I don't get that.
So I don't know.
Didn't work.
I almost do want to put Checo up there, but I'm not going to.
I mean, at this rate, if you keep up, with,
you're right.
Think of it like this: if you keep up with Tyler, you'll never win. First.
I'm never gonna win. You're right.
Hey, but he could get third or second.
All right, this sucks. Let's hope the curse continues. Take off Charles. Put in signs. So it's Lando, Oscar, Sainz.
Carlos.
I'm going to get screwed again. I'm going to get screwed again.
That's interesting. That's fine. Yeah. I think
that's fine.
We can allow it.
Thank you.
We can allow it.
Thank you. Please. Okay. Thank you.
I think to make it interesting, next week we might have to give him top five to pick. Get him some more points.
Ooh, more options? I would take a handicap easily. And then for those 2 points, yeah, it's got to be Colapinto. I think he definitely has less experience than Behrman, but...
I'll see you guys next week with my 2 points.
Well, yeah, we'll see about that. I think the Williams is just a better car right now, no matter what. It's possible they both don't finish the race.
That's what I'm banking on. I'm banging on Colapinto hitting a wall or something.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It could happen. And then Behrman finishing at, he might finish at 17th. Honestly, you're right.
Let's verify this. If they both DNF this race,
no points.
Nobody gets any bonus.
It's not who DNFs.
Can I make a DNFs
first?
Can I make a plea? If Behrman gets 17th exactly, can I get another point?
No, this isn't charity.
This sounds more like an amendment.
Okay, what if?
We have you're 5, making 000. An amendment to our rules.
We have $5,000 on this. It's not charity, dude.
We do? Oh, no. I'm going to lose so much money. What if I offer that one of my points gets taken away if he isn't?
How about you just give me one of your points so we make it an even race between me and Tyler?
No, why do you get any points out of this? No, I don't like that idea at all.
No, I'm not playing that. I don't play charity rules.
That's fair.
There's no participation awards.
I'm just saying he's getting 17.
Hey, he's just trying to hustle, man. He's got to climb up there.
I'm in shambles right now.
In shambles. You're holding yourself together pretty well.
I appreciate
maybe,
that.
Maybe,
on the outside, internally,
gone.
Screaming.
She's gone.
Yeah. Maybe depending on how the points end up going towards the end of the year, maybe we do one of the races where it's like a lot of points are on the line.
I'm cool with that.
I hate that, but I also need
like
it.
Top eight.
Top
something
eight?
Crazy. Something Ooh. Crazy.
Because you mess up one, you can mess up the rest of them.
You could still get seven if you mess up one.
Maybe.
It
could shift everything down for you.
If Behrman
really
pulls something out, and I'm going to be so angry, dude.
I won't be.
I know you won't be.
Take a shot with me. You won't.
You're right.
Actually,
I'm not going to.
You use your mid-switch that doesn't even exist. So.
I get one.
That's it. That's
one
it,
per
buddy.
Year. Okay.
All right. Well, with that, that concludes Fast Laps, Italy Recap, Azerbaijan Preview. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get the banter, and we'll see you next week.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.